On this day that we celebrate our church's birthday, the questions before us are pretty simple, pretty straightforward. What does it mean to be the church? And what are we called to do as the church? Well, no matter how hard we try to make these questions more complicated than they really need to be, no matter how you slice it, our mandate, our reason for being as a church, is not clouded in some shadowy mystery. The first scripture we heard this morning at the beginning of the service was from the book of Haggai. Now, we don't read from that book too often, do we? But do you hear those words that Arwen and Chris shared? Words of exhortation from God. Get to work, all you people. I'm living and breathing among you right now. Don't be timid. Don't hold back. Okay, then. God is certainly not being timid. God is not holding back and being a little bossy and directive to us. And apparently God doesn't want us to be timid or to hold back. Fancy that. God wants us to get to work. Pretty nervy on God's part, wouldn't you say? The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Donald Cogan, voiced the same sentiment when he said that with God's love and with God living and breathing among us, we don't need to be timid. He said, with God's love at the heart of our faith, we can never, never know retreat. We can never know retreat. And in that passage from Haggai, we also heard hints of what we are expected to do as the church in this temple dedicated to God. You see, in Haggai's time, they were rebuilding the temple that had been destroyed in Jerusalem. And once again, God was very clear what sort of business ought to be transacted in God's house. God said, this temple is going to end up far better than it started out. It is a place in which I will hand out wholeness and holiness. As keepers of God's temple here on Main Street in Glastonbury, we are called to hand out wholeness and healing, and maybe just a little bit or a lot of love. And then another quote that I found, which is just spectacular, an 80-year-old theologian, Peter Kreft, out of Boston College, really said it well. The church is a conspiracy of love for a dying world. It's on a spy mission into enemy-occupied territory ruled by the powers of evil. The church is the most life-changing and most revolutionary institution that has existed on earth. Well, in this passage that Kate will now read for us from Mark, it is Jesus' turn, not God's, to invite us to join in this conspiracy of love. It is Jesus' turn to inform us that we should never, ever hold back in our love of God and our love of neighbor. Pretty nervy on Jesus' part.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he'd answered them well, he asked him, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Then the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he'd answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one dared to ask him any question.
So is there an architect in the house? So Brian, what do you think? Copper beer vats up in the chancel? You think we could get two or three studio apartments in the balcony? What about here on the floor of the meeting house? Great windows to work with in your design. How many condominiums do you think we could put in here? You think I'm kidding? Joking? Who is to say that this won't happen here at First Church? In a year? A decade? With all that is happening to church buildings around this country being abandoned, all the mergers of congregations, who's to say that this can't ever happen here? Think again. The trends are there. Organized religion, people are leaving. People are doing other things with their lives. Just because we have been here for 324 years, there is absolutely no guarantee that we will be here for another 300 years. But First Church can buck this trend. First Church can be here for another day, another week, another decade, another year, and maybe for another three centuries. And you know who has the awesome joy and responsibility to ensure that we will be here year after year after year? You and I. It's our job to make sure this place stays open day after day, week after week, year after year. Don't think for a moment this place could close down in a minute. If we retreat, if we are timid, if we stop being the kind of church that God wants us to be, Meeting House Commons, here we come. Even got a name for it. The moment we lose our excitement, the moment we become irrelevant to our own lives or to the life of the world, we might as well close our doors, close up shop, and invite the architects and the developers to come in. You see, things can happen in churches. Lives can be changed. Lives can be transformed. The church might truly be, still be, the most transformative and revolutionary institution on the face of this earth. You think I'm kidding? Try to illustrate this. How many of you have heard of the musical Hamilton? How many of you have heard of the musical Hamilton? How many of you have seen the musical Hamilton? One, two. How many of you will see the musical Hamilton on the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's? Thanks to my vigilant daughter, Meg, we will see Hamilton. Face value tickets, didn't spend an arm and leg, face value tickets, because Meg just happened a number of months ago to be able, through a common friend, to go backstage and meet Leslie Odom Jr. Now, for those of you who don't know, he was the one who won the Tony Award for Best Actor for Hamilton. He played the character of Aaron Burr, and in the opening song, he said, "I'm the damn fool that shot Alexander Hamilton." Guess where Leslie Odom Jr. learned to sing?
Church.
The Canaan Baptist Church in Philadelphia. One interviewer recently, also on NPR, an interviewer asked Leslie Odom, "Did you really learn how to sing in church?" And he said, "Oh yeah, when I was a young boy, my pastor, my preacher knew that I knew how to sing, so I had to overcome my shyness really pretty quickly, because my preacher would eye me, and if he saw a place in his sermon where a song that I could sing would fit in, he would point me out, I'd have to come up and sing." Leslie said, Singing in a church is so, so nerve-wracking. He said, singing in church is the most nerve-wracking thing I can ever do. The interview said, can't be nearly as nerve-wracking as singing on Broadway. Oh no. Very seriously, Leslie Odom said, it's much more nerve-wracking to sing in church because people's souls are on the line. People's souls are on the line. So, if people's souls and lives are on the line, each and every day we get to show the world what the soul of First Church really is. You see, First Church is called each and every day to be a part of the conspiracy of love in this world. We've heard of conspiracy theories, but the greatest conspiracy theory is that we and other churches are a conspiracy of love to offer to the world. We are called to live and breathe in freedom with every single breath we take, and to be that miracle of love to one another and to the world. For another 300 years, First Church must be that one of those places that offers wholeness and healing and, yes, love to the world. About 10 years ago, I heard a story that I think I maybe shared maybe 8 years ago here, but so if you remember it, forgive me, but it seemed to be appropriate about what we're about here at First Church. Story told by Tony Campolo, a great preacher and author, internationally acclaimed. He's an Italian Baptist preacher from Philadelphia. He was invited to go to Honolulu to give a lecture. So he took the long flight from the mainland to Hawaii, arrived into his hotel late at night, tried to get some sleep, but about 3 a.m., his internal biological clock woke him up. And he was hungry, so Tony Campolo started to wander in the middle of the night the streets of Honolulu. Not much really open at that time, but what he did was he found an all-night greasy spoon diner. So he went in. As he went in, there was this man that came out from the kitchen with a cigar, greasy apron. That was Harry. So Tony sat down on a stool at the counter in the greasy spoon diner. Harry yelled out, "So what do you want?" Well, Tony took a look at that laminated, greasy menu. He wasn't sure what was growing inside of it. But he said, "I'll just have a coffee and a donut." Harry said, "Okay." Harry wipes his hands on his apron, grabbed one of the donuts, gave it to Tony. So Tony had his coffee and his donut. Then at exactly 3:30, seven or eight prostitutes came in. The loudest of them yelled out, sat down next to Tony and said, "Hey, tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. One of her friends said, "What do you want me to do about it? Give you presents? Throw you a party? Get you a cake?" The woman said, "Don't rag on me. I've never had a birthday in my entire life. So why would I expect one now?" Tony came up with an idea. As the women went back out on the street, Tony turned to Harry and said, "I'd like to throw a birthday party for that woman. She's going to be 39 tomorrow. Would that be okay if we decorated this place and threw a birthday party?" Harry said, "Mister, that's brilliant. That's brilliant." Then Harry yells back to the kitchen and says, "Hey, Barbara, this man wants to throw a birthday party for Agnes." Barbara came out from the kitchen and said, "You know, man, mister, Agnes is different. She's a really special person. What you're doing is truly wonderful." And so Tony said to Harry, "All right, if I get some balloons and some streamers and get a sign, I'll get a cake." "No, the cake is mine," Harry said. Tony sort of gulped at that. Whatever. So during that next day, Tony did his shopping. He went to Kmart and got the decorations and balloons and sign. Came back around 3 o'clock the next morning. The place was already filled. The word had gotten out. Street people, other prostitutes, place was filled because they knew there was going to be a party for Agnes. Tony put up the big sign, "Happy Birthday, Agnes." Appointed time at 3:30, Agnes and her friends came in. Agnes was stunned, her knees almost buckling. They sat her down on a stool. Out came the cake with the candles going, and she just stopped and began to cry. "Ah, oh, stop it," said Harry. "Just blow out the candles and cut the cake." Agnes turned to Tony and said, "Mister, would it be all right if I don't cut the cake right away? I live 2 doors down from here. I'd like to take the cake and show my mom." Agnes grabbed the cake and walked out. The place was in silence. Not knowing what to do, Tony said, "Let's pray." Had the people hold hands in that diner at 3:30 in the morning. They held hands and Tony prayed. When they finished the prayer, Harry said, "Hey, Campolo, you lied to me. You said you were a sociologist. You're a preacher. What kind of church do you preach at?" Tony paused and said, "I preach at a church that holds birthday parties at 3 a.m. for prostitutes." "No, no, no, no," Harry said. "Even I would join a church like that." What kind of a church is that? What kind of a church would Harry join? Probably a church that reaches out to children, to youth, to the elderly. A church that cares for those who are lonely, grieving, in despair. Probably a church that knits prayer shawls, takes soup and bread and cards to shut-ins. Probably a church that holds mission days and mission trips. Probably a church that mentors and tutors inner city kids. Probably a church that lives and breathes in freedom with every breath that it takes. Probably a church that truly is a miracle of love each and every day to the world. Friends, it is that kind of church that will be here 300 years from now.